Welcome back. All right. Well, we do have some questions. Lovely to hear from all of you. And keep sending them in, because we will, at the virtual live broadcast, answer questions here again as time permits. So first of all, I did want to mention that Steve doesn't do many sessions with the group, but he has a day that there are still a few open. It's March 24th. So if you're interested in having a session with Steve, you can write to me at keeper@espavo.org, and I'll get back to you and tell you more.
Yeah, okay. Let me also mention very quickly that I'm not the only one that does sessions. Meg does sessions as well as Allison. Allison has been doing a lot of sessions as well. She's a psychologist, psychological astrologer, so it's not just astrology, it's much more than that. And of course, Meg's sessions have been doing really well too. And I just want to let everybody know, everybody offers something on their own as well. Back to you, hon.
Okay. Well, this first one is from Rhonda, and it's something that Steve might have shared on Light Masters, but Meg suggested that maybe we would share it here as well. Rhonda is from Australia, and she says, hi there, Rhonda here. Wow, so much to share. Friday here was a crunch time with very high temps and gusty wind change setting the scene for untold disaster, but it did not happen. Instead, a gentle rain fell, downgrading the fires and giving the fires a chance to regroup. We were evacuated again, but are home now. So to all of us, job well done. This was written, I think, in late January. I now have renewed hope that we can calm the elements. Sometimes you just have to see it firsthand. So many miracles taking place at the moment. The Aussie spirit has never shone brighter. I see everywhere an opening of the heart of goodwill, the breaking down of barriers, so very beautiful. My intention is to ground the energy by talking about it, commenting on it, encouraging those who display it, and allowing others to speak of it. So often, once a disaster is over, people tend to put those walls up again. So we are doing as much as we can while the opening is here to ground it, to take it to the SAOTO, to ask our guides to for assistance. Do you have any further ideas? Again, thank you very much for your support, and feel free to share this story, as we are doing. Also, we are expecting rain in a couple of days, and know many are praying for drenching rain to extinguish the fires, but we need gentle rain. Burnt earth cannot absorb water, and we risk landslides of flooding and pollution, so gentle rain would be what we need. The fires will continue to burn for weeks to come, but a slow burn is much less dangerous to wildlife, and the fires are in mountainous countries which cannot be accessed. So gentle rain, please.
I love it.
I like this. You know, it's so true that, you know, once an emergency is passed, we kind of move on and forget about it.
Good point.
I'm not even sure where they stand right now with the fires. Do you see?
I'll just tell you a little bit of what the group has said and what Steve knows, because the group does not watch things like that and give us reports on how the fire is doing and something. They look at the larger picture. That's up to Steve to do some of that research. They are mopping up. It's real simple. They're trying to come back to the fire. For the fire, most of the fires are under control. I won't say that they're all out, but they are well under control at this point. The ones that are still burning are challenging, are not over challenging. But probably the biggest part about this, let me tell you some of the things the group did say about it. We just recently sent out the beacons of light just a couple days ago, and they talked about it. They actually mentioned the death of incredible amounts of animals, not just animals. They actually grouped the animals together with the wildlife, not only the wildlife that was harmed in Australia, but also the trees, the plants, the land itself went through a whole cleansing and rebirthing process, which is what a fire does. But it also took a lot. And we'll simply tell you that there was a tremendous amount of death that took place. They're not even sure of the numbers, of the numbers of animals. We're really closing. It's unbelievable how many animals are there that they have actually lost. And not just the animals, but species that may not recover. We're losing species off of planet Earth on a fairly regular basis. So with all that understanding, there's a good part to this. And that's what the group just talked about last month and just sent out as the beacons of light. And they called it trailing light. Because any time that there is a mass exodus of that nature, they basically say the door is still open. Because of so many beings crossing the veil, they basically said that beings that have been stuck here, or beings that could not find their way home, or beings that were confused as they stepped out of their body, can now easily find their way home and can easily connect because of the huge mass exodus that has happened. And the group called that trailing light. They basically said, you've left a trail behind you. And all the people need to do really is follow the trail. It doesn't mean that they're dying, but it means that it opens up the connection of home to everyone here on Earth. So let's give an honoring, not only to Australia, not only to the Australians and Rhonda and your husband who've been keeping in touch with us on a regular basis, Lightmasters, thank you so much for all the incredible connections that you've had here and being able to keep that part of the world very active in our Lightmaster groups. It's very, very helpful. And also just know that we're all in this together. And when we send these energies out, there's a major change that's taking place. Now, what about the difficulties? What about the challenges? Well, the group talked a little bit about this when we had the Amazon fires. And although the Australian fires are many times the size of what you had in the Amazon, both of these are going to affect planet Earth in about 3 years. We will see some challenges, some other shortages that will be directly related to not only the lack of cleansing of the carbon here on planet Earth, but also the lack of oxygen and refreshing oxygen, because all these trees take carbon dioxide out of the air and turn it into oxygen. They breathe in carbon dioxide, breathe out oxygen, the opposite of humans. And because of that, that balance is now being thrown out of order. We will start to see that imbalance in about 3 years, 3 to 4 years at this point. So I do want to bring you up to date on what they said with that. Rhonda, good job. Yeah, thank you. We are sending you all love. You are definitely not in this alone. It is really challenging when people have to leave their homes the way that you have had to do multiple times now. And Australia is still a target. It's still a challenge. It still gets extremely dry and extremely hot. We're also watching the Great Barrier Reef right off the edge of Australia there, because it is again another part of the lungs of our planet that seems to be having a lot of difficulty adapting, and it's dying basically. So there are things that we can do to not only correct our actions and make it easier to these things to recover, but also just the love, just the energy, just the attention are huge. Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you for being there, both of you. Great job. Back to you, hon.
Okay, next we hear from Laurie. And this is something that's on all of our minds, I'm sure. Laurie says, I know that the coronavirus was talked about a little, but I keep hearing more and more about it, and I'm starting to buy into the fear. My neighbor across the street had just the regular flu, but was in the hospital for 3 days. I was looking for a package of face masks because I'm kind of a germophobic, and they were sold out at a few stores. I tried. Also, the prices of them on the internet has really gone up. Is there anything more you can say about this at all?
Yes. Again, I'll tell you again what the group said. We have waves of energy, okay? And it's much easier to catch this when the negate it when the wave is down here than up here at the peak. We draw attention to it when it's at the peak, but it's much easier to work with and actually have our effect. The light masters know this. We work with things all over the globe in different ways in light master on a regular basis. And yet the group doesn't work with everything. There's things that people are concerned about that the group says, you know, that's wonderful that you want to work with it, but we're going to save our effort for things that we can really make a difference with. And so we don't work with everything, but the coronavirus is out of hand and it is a challenge. We have a small window to start degrading it. And the group said that that is entirely possible this next month. In March, it is entirely possible to start that curve to where we said, okay, we didn't have a whole lot of new ones and we're starting to get people healed. The numbers are starting to go down. We have not seen that happen yet. We have seen breaks in the numbers, but most of it has to do with countries withholding information or not reporting things that they think will damage their economy. And we have to tell you, China's in trouble right now with their economy. They are making some drastic moves with their economy because the fact that China shut down. Most of China has shut down to traffic, to tourism, and every other part of it. And of course, we're going to see effects with the industry that provides all the cruises that you see all over the globe. Even though there's only certain lines that have had trouble with it and certain routes, the reality is it's going to affect economies globally here when we work with this. So what do we do? Well, first of all, know that this is a living entity and you can communicate with it. That's probably the biggest piece. Now, the flu that is going around right now, not the coronavirus, we're going to call it the COVID-19 because that's what they've named it. So the COVID-19 is still rampant, but more people right now are dying from the flu in the United States than are dying from this virus. Now, there are people all over the globe that are at different places. We do have an outbreak here in the United States. It's very small. It's somewhat been controlled and so forth. So we're not in panic here yet. But other places throughout the world are starting to see this take over and really have an effect on it. And everybody's trying to do the best they can. What can you do? Well, you can learn some very basic habits. The biggest challenge is right here. An average human touches their face 7 times a minute. 7 times a minute. That's what happens. So if you're out traveling around and you're touching escalators and handrails and all the things where you can pick up germs, there's a couple things you can do. Number one, you can wear rubber gloves. It's not going to be as strange as you think. Especially when you're traveling, you will see other people with them. What that does is actually remind you not to touch your face. Because if you forget and actually touch your face, you'll feel the rubber. You'll say, oh, okay, got to do this. And you'll learn a couple tricks about coughing into your arm and doing other things of that nature rather than working with this. That can be very helpful, very basic things. We did make an announcement about 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago in Lightmaster that this would be a good time to get those face masks if you're going to get some, because they will run out globally. And I actually ordered a case of them at that time myself, did not get them. I think the order's been canceled for some strange reason. So face masks are going to be a bit of a problem, yet there's other things you can do with them too. Most of the face masks that actually work with this germs are made out of, the ones that I actually have are made out of cloth. So there's other things you can do with this as well. There will be other things coming if it becomes necessary to have those face masks. There are things you can do. And there's other ways of being able to accomplish that besides just the paper mask that you wear. But we are going to see an expansion of this for the time being. The reason the group gave us this March date and says you basically have a window to where you can start curtailing this, that is when we want to start putting our energy into it. And that's really, and it's just a week away. So beginning of March, we're going to start working with this on a regular basis, not only here in the Virtual Light, but in Lightmaster and some of the other events that we do that are really related to the time of right now. So we will be doing that. Everybody can get involved with it. There is a window that we ask everybody to start actively seeing this curve down. It's Just send your energy out, send your expectations out, and we can all make a difference and pull this thing in energetically right away. And that can happen from March 1st through March 17th. There's a window right there that we can have a profound effect on this. So let's work on that, shall we? Let's get going on this and do something with it. We will work actively on it in our next virtual light, but we'll probably do something in the meantime as well. So, and if you're a light master, we'll absolutely start working on that immediately because it is time to work with this one. All right. Hope that I know it's a lengthy question or answer, but the planet is in trouble right now with this virus. They also mentioned that there are, actually, Allison mentioned it a while back. She said, you know, you have your flu season. And she said the flu season isn't really caused by things that you think it is. She said she believes that it's actually caused by the ionosphere opening up, your atmosphere opening up. Other germs can get through that couldn't get through before at certain times of the year. And the group went, absolutely. They absolutely agreed with that and said, yes, that is exactly what happens. And that's how this virus got here. So if we are able to adapt it, we're able to work with it and anchor it, we can even live with it without having the ill effects of it. Very easy to fall into fear. Let's not do that. You know, one of the other things that I will tell you is that there is a new flu virus vaccine out. And if you're concerned about anything, you might want to get the flu virus. It's not about the COVID-19 at all, but it can keep you from getting the flu if you have that. Barb and I have been getting flu shots for many years. I know many of you are anti the because it's basically introducing the flu in your body so that your body can build its own resistance. But we do, and I'll simply tell you that if that's the case, now's a good time. Back to you, hon.
All right. Have another one. Actually, there's like three parts to this email. So it's from Suzanne. Thank you so much for being here. I have listened to you for many, many years at the computer in my home at the top of Denmark with great joy and relief, finally meeting my own frequency, meaning of your words and the comfort it has been to me. I grew up among and have been surrounded most of my 58 years by egotist, narcissist, and psychopath, guilt, incest, abuse of power, alcoholism, etc. And I am almost childishly proud to have survived myself and my family and this heavy earthly energy. Yes, you should be.
Absolutely.
Her first question is, I have ridden all my life to preserve my sense of loneliness and the surroundings, lack of understanding my nature, and have now great insight and feelings of pattern of families. I have seen in a vision that I write a trilogy that takes the reader by hand and shows the person's development from birth onward. Two of the books were written 20 to 25 years ago. One is published, one is still in the drawer, and I'm considering whether to write a third. But there has been no flow in publishing and selling the books earlier on. So I have doubts whether they can be used in the world. Can you say something about this?
I can tell you what the group told me. Now, before I wrote my first book, before I started channeling, I worked for a company that distributed books. It was a magazine distributor. It was ARA Services in San Diego, and we distributed all the magazines and books in the San Diego area. Not all of them, but a vast majority of them. Everything from bookstores to grocery stores to every other part of that. So in that capacity, I worked in the hardback department, which is the book department and the higher end of the book department. And I got to see many people who wrote their own books. And they had 3,000 of them printed because they could get a good price. And 5 years later, they have 2,500 of them still sitting in their garage. And they're very discouraged and didn't know what to do with it. So having that experience and growing up with dealing with these people on a fairly regular basis, I got to be very scared about publishing my own book. And when it came time for me to publish that book, I was very nervous. And even though it was a few thousand dollars investment, but at that time, That was a huge amount of money for us, a huge amount of money. And it was a gamble. We didn't know if it was going to sell. We didn't know any part of that. So the group basically said, you need to understand something. The books can make you money, but that's not their intent. That most people that write books, that actually make money from their books, which is not everybody and not by a long shot, but most people that actually make money from their books do so years later. And it's usually because they've written several other books and people want to go back and pick up the earlier books. Even our book, all of our books right at this moment are out of print. And it had to do with us going from Lightworker to Espavo as the name of our company. So all those ones with Lightworker on it, I had to actually get rid of. We had to lose those and give them away or trash them in some ways. So we're going to be doing that as well and going back into it. My whole thought is, hey, why do I need to go back and write the books? If I'm doing the videos, I can turn on my cameras, I can get you information so much faster. But there's a whole market that won't do that. And there's a whole bunch of people that really can register things by reading them rather than watching them. The group told me this would be a base for the work and not to count on it to actually make money or do that other process. And of course, I wanted to know, is it going to at least make its money back? Am I at least going to break even? And they said, yes. And we'll tell most people that that's going to be the case. Start slow. Now you've got totally different technologies. We've got printing on demand. You don't have to print 3,000 books. You can print 100 books. You can print 10 books. You can print different things in different ways with new technologies. And I would certainly go to Amazon. They have a program for authors and people that have never written a book before. So there's all kinds of free information about that whole process. But it's a gamble, and it's a gamble on you. And what I will tell you is, if you do that, it will be a solid base of your work that you can get no other way. There's no other way that you can basically do that. Steve has been not writing books now for several years, and yet the group is really actively nudging me to start putting that back, to not only get our books back in circuit, but also to write a couple new ones. I've got one underway that's about 3/4 done, and they've already got another couple of them planned, so I have to kind of catch up. It's scary. There's no two ways about it. But you're betting on yourself. So what I would suggest is take that gamble. And if you can, do it in such a way where you don't have to count on that as income, but you know that it's going to pay you back. When you take that spin off of it, you can make it work a whole lot easier. There's a lot of things you can do with that. I hope that helps. Back to you, Hunt.
Well, she does say that writing and communicating light, consciousness, and self-love and strength means everything to her. But she's been struggling to survive with a lot of self-doubt and low self-worth. Bring out certain points because it's very long here. But she says that she was married and after 20 years divorced, that her husband was very degrading toward her and she just felt not good enough by everything that he said to her. And so, but they did divorce, but she
developed... Life lesson of definition, good job. Good job. That's what it was. You defined your boundaries. You said no at some point. The hardest thing in the world for you to say. You did. Good job.
Well, before she made that point of divorcing, she developed stress diagnosis and had many, many illnesses, but you're out of it now. So, but she goes on to say that she's always followed her inner strong soul path and light, but my incarnation as a human being is physical form has been harsh, difficult. Her next question says that that she, with her two sons who are grown now, she wants to know how she can be in the same room with her ex-husband when she's celebrating her sons, both of her sons, like graduations and family events. She says it's very difficult to be with him because right after they divorced, he turned around and married somebody else. But she says in some ways she feels like they both still love each other. But what can she do to be in the same room with this man?
Well, sometimes it takes practice to be able to do those things because we all, and I don't mean you, but all humans tend to judge themselves about what other people think of them. So if you have someone who brings out constant negative behavior in you over and over again, being in the room with them can be a challenge. However, you can ground this light. You do not have to carry that. You don't have to carry those negative energies. And you can find ways of grounding that and letting it go through you. One of the things that you can do is to find something metal, some metal object around in that room that you're in with him. And if you feel yourself starting to get anxious, starting to get angry, starting to get frustrated, go over and touch that metal. It literally will help drain some of that energy off of you. It's a grounding. It's a physical, electrical grounding. And what that does is take the energy away from all those thoughts, because all the thoughts are electrical. And all the thinking of, oh, I'm not good enough, and oh, I when I looked through his eyes at myself, I looked horrible. Well, that's what a relationship is. When you like the look that other people see you as, that's the connections you go after. So that's the part that is there. Well, the suggestion I'll give you, find something metal in the room that you can put your hand on very quickly without making a lot of, you don't have to tell anybody what you're doing. You can just sneak over there and put your hand on metal somewhere and touch something, ground that light through, and then you can go around enjoying your day, even if they're in the room with them. Okay? That's one of the pieces you can work with there. I hope that helps.
All right, and just rise above it. You are a strong person through everything you've been through. Her third question is about her son. She says her older son is very sensitive and has abused hash and alcohol, but has taken responsibility for his life and is struggling to become his pure form again and step out of his father's shadow. Can you say something reassuring about his path? Will he become his own worthy self again?
Well, that's it's your desire, and yet it's his choice. So he's not going to go back to being the same person he was, but nobody does. Nobody steps backwards. But now that he's gone through some of these side paths and experienced some of these other things, he can actually come back with a stronger energy, a more powerful energy to be in harmony with that rather than fighting against it. So give him some space, give him some honest feedback. That's really important. When you get really close with family members, a lot of times you'll just take problems or you just ignore things or so forth because you don't want to cause a challenge with him. It's going to be very important you give him honest feedback, and that's going to be very helpful for him to ground that and to ground that energy. So that's the piece that I would suggest. Be really honest. You put it in a nice way. You don't challenge people. You don't call them on their stuff, you know, so to speak. But there are ways of saying, you know, I just need to tell you I have a little difficulty with this from time to time, and I'm working on it, but here it is. You'd be surprised at the feedback that he needs, because he's trying on new things. If you give him feedback, he'll settle into one that'll be a little more comfortable for you. All right, back over to you, Ann.
Suzanne goes on to say, thank you, thank you. I am near to tears of joy knowing that the family of E exists here on Earth, and I am so pleased to know that you are here. Big hugs and many loving greetings from Suzanne in Denmark, and please keep up your beautiful work.
Suzanne at the top of Denmark, we will remember that, my dear, and send you a lot of love. Good job. Really good job. Back over to you, Johan. Is that it?
That's all our questions. How wonderful they were. Nice to hear from all of you.
We're caught up. Okay, we're going to take a very short break and just a quick commercial here, and we'll be right back with Allison right after that. Allison Chester Lambert. We'll be right back.
See you then.